Well, the reading that was read, that passage in Mark that Terry read, that was actually Christ's words about his own second coming, when he's going to come back again, his second coming. And his return is the first Advent, but it's the first theme in Advent. In other words, the return of Christ is as we close the Christian year, and then the coming of Christ again, or his first Advent, his coming, the Bethlehem manger, that is the beginning of the gospel story. One closes history, the other opens the gospel story. So that's why it ends the Christian year and starts the new Christian year. And New Year's also happens at that time. Well, in its first coming, we've already received that gospel story, but now we anticipate this second coming. And that's why I wanted Terry to read that passage, because it's very important as it deals with the passage we're going to look at. The Old Testament prophets, they saw these two Advents together. And if you look in some of the Christian hymns that we have, it mentions his manger, but it also mentions his coming as a king. And it's like to crowning him king. And it's like it also mixes the two Advents together. And so the Old Testament prophets, when they were looking beyond their own day to the future, they saw the two Advents together, and they anticipated his advent, just the advent of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, just as we anticipate his coming again, as his second coming. And they longed to see this, and our text amplifies this idea of longing. The first verse in it that I read earlier, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." That's the first verse of Isaiah 64. We're going to go through verse 9, but I wanted to start with that because it's the idea of longing. Oh, God, please come. Please make an advent. Please come. That's what the word advent means. It means to come. Now, Isaiah's hope was literally fulfilled in the incarnation, when Christ came, became one of us, took upon flesh and dwelt among us. And today, we echo that hope, that prophetic hope, in our expectation of the second advent, of the return of Christ. But often, very, very often, as we wait for that second coming, we also have that attitude, that advent attitude that the prophets had. They expressed an Advent attitude of, oh, come, Lord. Oh, we long for your coming. And many times we express that in our daily lives with the daily things that we deal with. Have you ever asked God to come down and make your mountains of trial tremble before him? That's what Isaiah was asking. And we ask that sometimes of God. Have you ever wished that God would break into this broken world and put things back together and heal things that need to be healed and make right things that need to be made right where there have been injustices? Have you ever said the last prayer in the Bible? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Come down as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and asking him to bring into our world of chaos and into our world of turbulent times his peace, his justice, his healing. Advent proclaims that Jesus came to claim the crown. That's what he came to do. He came to claim his crown as king. Have you ever prayed, come set it right, Lord. Come help me with this mess that I'm in. Well, Advent says Jesus was sent to answer that prayer. That's what Jesus was sent for, to answer that prayer. So we're going to look first at these first three verses. In sending Jesus, God was coming down. Verses 1 through 3. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, Come down and make your name known to your enemies, and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Advent season is a time of prayerful waiting and prayerful focus. And we focus on many different things. And one of the things we focus on is a time of reflection, a time of focusing on humanity's longing for a Savior to deliver us from the sins that separated us from God, our Creator. It's a time to meditate on everyone's heart's longing for healing. Everyone seems to need it. Social problems, relational problems, financial problems. There's all kinds of things that need repair, that need God's healing. Our bodies, our relationships. It's also a time to reflect on Israel's longing. As we look back on the Old Testament, as we look at Isaiah here, Israel was longing for God to be their true king. And this is really well expressed in the psalm that comes after "The Lord is my shepherd." It's Psalm 24. And listen to what it says. "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, He is the King of glory." Advent season calls us to marvel at the miraculous and the mysterious answer that God gave to these longings. Not only Israel's longing, but everyone's longing. He opened heaven and came down. He came down to us Himself. In the incarnation, God stepped into a fallen creation. He stepped into a world that was filled with brokenness and pain from sin. And He fulfilled that prophecy about the Messiah in Isaiah 61, which comes before this passage. "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And this is the thrill of Advent. In sending Jesus, God comes down to us. In taking on human flesh, God becomes one of us. That's awesome. It's something unexpected. It's something unanticipated. Now, why did God come down in Jesus? What were His motives? You know, some think that God's out to get us. You know? God's out to get us. Well, really, He is. He came out of heaven to get us out of sin into the joy of the heavenly kingdom. Yeah, He's out to get us, all right. He's out to get us into His flock of blessing. Yes, that's true. But He wants to restore lost creation, and He wants to retrieve the wandering lost sheep of humanity. This is His motive. And in sending Jesus, He wanted to reveal Himself. He wanted to reveal Himself. Verse 4, "Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him." There's that concept of Advent, of waiting upon the coming. All religions teach that people can learn the divine will. Otherwise, they don't have anything to teach as a religion. They just don't have anything to teach anyone. But they do believe that humans can learn the divine will. And this is a true teaching, actually. This is a real truth. This is how God has built us. This is how God has made us. And yet, many people, whatever they learn, sometimes it's not divine truth. And that's true, too. So, the God of the Bible has revealed not only his divine will, but he has revealed his character, his nature. He shows us these through natural revelation, through creation itself and all the beauty in creation. He shows us this through special revelation, his covenants that he gives, his laws that he's revealed. He reveals this through symbolic revelation. You know, he made a tabernacle that all the things in the tabernacle were symbols. I know we have some symbols in here. We have these banners. We have colors. It's supposed to be red, but it'll be red next week. White. It's supposed to be, it's supposed to be purple. Violet. Sometimes I forget the colors of the Christian year, but no, it's heart preparation, purple. And Angela's the only one that's wearing the right color today. We have these different kinds of symbols that we have. And all these symbols are symbolic revelations to help us to know a little bit more, or at least to jog our memory about God. He shows us through interventional revelation, his miracles, his works of power that he has done not only in past history, but even in our day. He shows us himself and his ways through verbal revelation, through the words of prophets. But all these things teach us about him. At Advent, God has done the unimaginable, the unexpected. And that was to reveal himself. To reveal himself. Do you want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. Do you want to know how God acts? Look at Jesus. Do you want to know how he loves? Look at Jesus. If you want to know the full revelation of God's character, will, and heart, look at Jesus, the God-man, God in the flesh. The one who came among us. Jesus said in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that includes everything. But it especially includes lost people. If Jesus fully reveals God then we know God's attitude. What is God's attitude? He wants lost sinners and wayward saints as well to come back to him. God has come down to bring us home to himself. That's the last point in this message. In sending Jesus, God restores us. He restores us, and that's such a great theme in Scripture. And it's going to be the theme that we're going to understand when he comes back, to full restoration. Resurrection of our bodies, setting the universe in order again. No more rebellion from fallen angels and that kind of thing. It's all going to be restored. Verses 5 through 9. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. What a passage of hope in the midst of turmoil of sin. And Advent reminds us why God had to come down in the first place. This passage is clear in its description of how we are condemned, how we are cursed by our own disobedience, how we are slaves to sin many times, and also how we persistently fail the Lord. And this goes on and on and on in our lives, and we know this. And if we reject it, we say, oh no, not me. That may be other people, but not me. And we don't like that dismal description of humanity. Well, Isaiah already has an answer for that. He's anticipated that we would say that. And he says this: all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. No, it doesn't cut it. You know, our own righteousness doesn't cut it. But this is Isaiah's prayer. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Jesus is God's answer to Isaiah's prayer and to ours. He comes down to us. He reveals himself to us. He restores us. This is Advent. And this is why we celebrate it with grateful hearts. Jesus came into our sin-broken and often very chaotic world. He came to claim his crown as king, to bring his divine healing and his royal peace to this earth. Advent is God's answer to our heart's deepest longings. It reminds us that God hears our cry for intervention, for his revelation of himself, for his restoration of what sin has damaged in our lives and in the world. And even before his return, Advent proclaims, Jesus is Lord. That's what Advent proclaims. Jesus is Lord. Advent draws us to the newborn Savior's manger. We see his natal star. They're all over the place during Christmas time. And we see the mangers. They're all around at Christmas time, and if people haven't shut them down and taken them away from. But we think about the manger. We think about the coming, the first coming. And we think about the invitation that Advent gives to us. It's inviting us to personally crown him as Lord of our lives. Personally. Individually. To make him the king of our lives. And with Jesus on the throne of our hearts, Advent also does something else. It urges us to invite others to the manger of God's newborn Son, the manger bed of God's Son at that Christmas season, that they may also crown him king and find not only the personal revelation of himself to their hearts, but also his healing touch in their lives. So here we are. Advent is speaking to us, calling us to make him known to others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Advent season. Thank you for this passage. It opens us up so well to see what you have done at Advent, what you are calling us to, not just Isaiah's long ago ancient longing, Lord, but our own longing. Because we have problems that we face in our lives. We're asking you to come into them as well. Set things right. Lord, heal and touch. And many times, Lord, our hearts are left wondering what is going on in this world. Well, what is going on is that you have come and that you're coming back to set everything right. We believe that. And we pray that you would help us to hold on to that faith and also to spread that faith in this world, a kind of faith that truly will bring the world together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.